This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I was thinking about something this week that I know you think Joy is perfect and she never gets upset, but there is one thing that absolutely sets her off, and it's not me. But this is something. When Joy gets a hold of a foreign call center, you know, the ones that tell you that they speak English, and you tell them the problem, and they go, "Oh, thank you very much. I am so glad you called. I'm going to fix your problem." Now, I have disconnected from those people before, but when Joy disconnects from them, you know something has gone really, really off and bad. And so I was thinking about that is one thing that, in fact, I watched her one time just get so frustrated. It was really fun. And because she was just going, I mean, this person was going and Joy was going off. So we're doing a series called Connected, but this morning I'm going to do something called The Big Disconnect and some things that you want to disconnect from. Now, I got one key thing we want to disconnect from this morning. Now, when you think about things that you disconnect from, one of the first things that comes to mind with me is telemarketers. And if you're a telemarketer, bless your heart, because that's a hard job. And I got a call from one out, man, I knew I shouldn't have done it. I'm in the car. Here comes the thing on my screen. I don't recognize the number. I usually never answer it, but I did. And I said, "Hi, this is Alan." Guy said, "Hey, can I speak with Craig?" And I went, "I'm sorry, you got the wrong number." He said, "Well, hey, well, I've got you on the phone." And he just took off. Man, he was actually pretty good. And I finally just said, "Man, he was a charity. I said, I got another source where my funds go," and then, you know, hung up. That's the one thing I do appreciate about those old-time phones. You know, with the cell phone, when you hang up, it just doesn't have that feeling of slamming down the receiver. So, hung up, disconnect. Okay, how many of you ever have been in a restaurant when you got an unwanted surprise in your meal? Like a hair you didn't recognize. You're like, "Oh, man, that's a tour bus driver is driving a whole group of senior citizens. He's driving them around, and he gets tapped on the shoulder, and a sweet little old lady hands him a handful of peanuts, and he munches them down, and a few minutes later, she hands him another handful, munches. That happened about five times. Finally, he said, "Darling, why don't y'all eat the peanuts yourself?" She said, "Oh, we can't eat them ourselves." She said, "Because we don't have any teeth." And he said, "Well, why do you buy them then?" She said, "We just love the chocolate that's around them." And we disconnect right there. Okay, so unwanted things in your meal. Here's our third one. We want to disconnect from toxic friends and creepy dates. Toxic friends and creepy. We mean toxic friends. I mean the friend who's nice to you when you're by yourself, but when you're with a whole group of people, they use you as the butt of their jokes and make fun of you. You need to disconnect from friends like that. And creepy dates, let me tell you something, girls, if they're creepy the first time, they're going to be creepy the second time. Just might as well disconnect, work on the catch and release plan, and move on down the road. But there's one thing that we do need to all disconnect from this morning. And that's disconnecting from fear. Fear is something that all of us deal with. And whether it's an uneasy dread or it's a full-blown panic attack, fear is not welcome and fear is not a good part of our lives. And we'd say, "Well, Alan, I don't know that I can ever disconnect from fear. Fear is simply a part of our lives." Well, thank God, God has a different perspective of that. And this is a wonderful promise that Jesus gives us right here. Look at this. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That implies that we have a choice. And here's the great news this morning. You are not a helpless victim to fear. You can resist fear. You can get stronger than the fear that comes against you. You can get stronger than the fear in your life. A number of years ago when we moved back to Texas, I took a job and I was in straight commission sales. I was working for Administap, straight commission. We'd gone down to about $900. I had a mortgage. I had two kids. And so we didn't have hardly any money. We had no margins. And I started thinking about this, and the fear just began to really just wear me out. I'd drive past a government housing, and it's like a little voice was saying, "You're going to wind up living there because you're going to go broke." And the fear began to to plague me so much that when I made my very first sales call with this company, I broke out into this sweat. Now, I'm not just talking about my glistening. I'm talking about a rolling sweat to the point where the guy I was trying to sell to looked at me and said, are you okay? And I had to get up, excuse myself, go throw cold water on my face and come back in. But I want to tell you something. When you're dealing with a panic attack, cold water doesn't help. And so I started making sales calls, and I'm making sales calls, and I'm pouring sweat. How many of you know that's that doesn't elicit trust when the salesman is sweating profusely when he's talking to you? You're thinking, oh, great, I trust this guy. And so it was starting to really to wear on me, but thank God, I'd heard that Jesus did not want me living in fear, that this panic attack was not from him. This was not something he was using to teach me a lesson on. This was from the enemy. And I was sitting in a lobby one day, and I could sense that fear starting to come up on me, but something else rose up in me. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And he reminded me of a verse that said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I just sitting there in that lobby, I didn't do it in the middle of the lobby, but on the inside, I'm starting to jump up and down. Something on the inside rose up in me and go, we're done with this. We're not having this anymore. And the panic attacks left me. That was 28 years ago. They haven't been back, and they're not coming back. We're done with that. We're free from fear. So this morning, I can promise you, whether you're dealing with, like I said, just a nagging dread or a full-blown fear that's paralyzed you, I understand where you're coming from. Good news is, thank God we can disconnect from fear. Now, I'm going to give you a story this morning, and it's I called it Fear on the Water, not to be misconstrued with Smoke on the Water, which was a wonderful hit from the 70s, but it was Fear on the Water, and it's Peter and Jesus on the boat. Let's look at this. Here in Matthew. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea, and when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer, it's I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are Son of God. I love this story because in this story we see that Jesus did not want his disciples in fear. Here they is, and you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, if I'd been in that boat, I wouldn't have been afraid. Really? Because you're in a boat, it's in a storm, and there's probably lightning, and in the lightning you see someone walking to you on the water. And that scared them. They're like, it's a ghost. But Jesus immediately dealt with that because he didn't want them to be afraid. And I thought, you know, there's something in us, and I admit I've done it before. We think scaring people is funny. In fact, watch this. Okay, who thought that was funny? If it had been done to you, would you have thought it was funny? No. See, what we don't see is the camera keep rolling and someone look at them and go, you ever do that again, I'll kill you. Because we're laughing at them, we're not laughing with them. And Jesus, when the disciples were afraid, aren't you glad Jesus didn't go, oh, and then go, dude, did I scare y'all? Y'all look scared. Yeah, y'all were really. Aren't you glad he didn't do that? He said, whoa, wait. He said, immediately he spoke. He said, it's me. Don't be afraid. He didn't want them in fear. God doesn't think fear is funny. God thinks fear is not good. And so even though we might think it's funny, and I have done that before, I scared Rob King to death one day. He was standing, it was late at night. He didn't know I was in the office. He's studying his office, and I stand outside his window like this. He looked up and jumped about a foot. I'm like, it's a good thing I'm the boss. Jesus doesn't think fear is funny. And he didn't think it was okay to scare the disciples. He didn't want them in fear. And so he spoke immediately. That's me. And then you see Peter do something. Peter was an action guy. And Peter said, I'd rather take action. Peter did not sit in the boat waiting to be relieved. Peter said, if it is you, tell me to come. And Jesus said one word. He said, come. And Peter, acting on Jesus' word, stepped out of the boat and began to walk on the water to go to Jesus. That was a faith-based action. And what we see in Peter was, when he stepped out on Jesus' word was not just an invitation, it was an empowering word. And it empowered him to do something that was typically considered by everyone, impossible. So he did that. But then Peter disconnected from Jesus and plugged right into fear. Well, what happened? He's walking toward Jesus, and the Bible said he began to see the wind boisterous. Well, evidently, the wind on the lake, it's kicking up waves. It's causing problems. And Peter took his eyes off Jesus. He started looking at the waves, and the Bible said beginning to sink. So in other words, what he started doing is he started plugging into fear. He's unplugging from the Lord. He's plugging into fear because you don't begin to sink when you're on the water. You just go under. He's going down. And I love the fact that when he goes down, the Bible said Jesus doesn't wait till he's gone under about four times and then reaches down, grabs him by his hair and pulls one nostril out and said, you shouldn't have doubted. As soon as he goes under, Jesus immediately stretches his hand and helps him, and they walk back to the boat together. And then the disciples are like, whoa, you are the Son of God. Now that was a story, but it gives us some principles. I like what Peter did. It's an action-based principle. Listen, action is always a good answer for fear. When you are afraid, when you're feeling feelings of fear, you can act. And even though you have feelings, you can begin to act. That's one of the best strategies for fear, is taking action. Because if you can begin to take action, you can counteract the fear. And even though you have all kinds of feelings, you can get over it. When I was 8 years old, in my neighborhood pool, we had all these diving boards, and we had high dives. And back then, I think they've legislated them out of existence now, but every neighborhood used to have a high dive, and it was a rite of passage that when you were of the age, you would jump off the high dive. It was only 10 feet off the water, but when you stood up there and looked down, you swore it was 150 feet off the water, and it was a scary thought. And I remember, man, I'm not going off the high dive. I keep waiting for that right time. I was afraid. I'd actually climbed up there one time and then walked back down. And so I'm playing out there. I'm playing in the pool one day, and I meet a whole group of friends. They're a little bit older, and they were cool. They're like, hey, man, you can come play with us. I'm like, okay, great. They're like, can you go off the high dive? I'm like, yeah. They said, let's go. I'm like, ooh. So they said, you go first. I'm like, so I'm climbing up that 150-foot ladder, and I looked down just to see if I had an exit strategy. I did not, because they were all behind me going, go ahead, man. Go ahead. So I walked up there, and I never forget, I was afraid. But I was more afraid of suffering the indignity of climbing back down past all those guys who would know then I was totally a geek, and there was no way I'm going to do that. So I walked to the edge, and I remember thinking to myself, legends have been told of people who belly busted and died on a high dive. Lord, if I die before I wake. And I jumped, and I lived. And when I got out, I was able to do it again. And one of the best things you can do to overcome fear is simply take action against it. And you say, well, Alan, I don't know what action to take. I got a great. This is where our relationship with the Lord comes in so well. Because faith-based action is the most powerful action. Look what the psalmist said here. He said, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? What are we saying? Is when we have those overwhelming feelings of fear, we can begin to say, God, I'm going to trust in you. And my heart may be beating, and you may feel afraid, but I'm going to begin to praise his word. And if you can praise him on those promises, what you're beginning to do is plug in to God. And if you begin to do that, it's a great way to start to overcome fear in your life. You say, well, man, if I act If I act like I'm not afraid based on that, if I act against my feelings, I'm not being real. No. What you're being is strong. Feelings are not the highest form of truth. God's word is the highest reality in my life. And God is the highest reality. I was like, Lord, when I am afraid, I'm going to trust in you. The second thing when you want to overcome fear is this. Where you focus on is really what you're going to plug into. If you're going to overcome fear, you're going to have to watch the thoughts and the thoughts that are running through your mind, and you need somewhere else to focus. Remember, Peter, when he was looking at Jesus, was doing good. When he started looking at the wind, not so good. I was dating a girl in college, and we got invited over to another couple's apartment. We went one night. It was around Halloween, and they thought it was a great idea to watch horror movies. And so we were watching one of them. I don't know which one it was. It was either Friday the 13th or Halloween, it was one of them, but somebody, some scary dude with a knife is killing people. And I don't watch horror movies because they scare me. And so I'm sitting there watching that with her. Now I've got to be cool because I'm sitting there with my girlfriend. And I got to act like, no, we're good with this. I'm like, I'm not good with this. And when the movie's over, we're like, okay, we're going back now. I'm walking back to the car looking like, so I take this girl to her dorm room. I pull up right in front of the dorm. I said, hey, good night. She went, oh, no, you are walking me up to my dorm room. I'm like, no, because Freddy Krueger is in the stairwell somewhere looking to kill me. No, I don't want to do that. She said, I'm not going. So we had an impasse. She won. I parked the car. I walked her up there. We were like walking up the steps. What happened? Well, all of a sudden, my thoughts shifted from I'm a happy-go-lucky college student to somebody's trying to kill me with a knife, and it's scary, and my thoughts shifted to there. And when your thoughts begin to shift to all that could go wrong, all the negatives, all the what-ifs, it can open the door to fear. But thank God, you don't have to plug into fear. You can plug into something else. And you can begin to plug in to what God has said. And man, what a benefit that is. When I was 19, I gave my heart to the Lord. I came back to college. I didn't have any friends that were Christians. I didn't have a church. And I fell so far away from God, it really, you couldn't tell much difference between born again Alan and not born again Alan. And it broke my mother's heart. My mom's a wonderful Christian. I have good Christian parents. And my mom had been praying for me for years, and it just broke her heart. Because I didn't want to hear about God. I didn't want to talk about God. I didn't want anything to do with that. I'm partying hard. And my mom's crying out. And one night, she got up and she's just crying out to God. She was so afraid for me. And she's crying out to God. And she began to open her Bible and read. And in Isaiah 44, she said, Alan, she's like, this verse just jumped out the pages at me. And the Lord said, I will pour my blessing upon your descendants and my spirit upon your offspring. And one will call himself, one will say, I am the Lord's, and the other will call himself by the name of Jacob. She said, when I read that, I knew the Lord was talking to me. That's him. That's his word. I knew that was his promise. And for the next 3 years, my mom had a promise. And whenever she tended to be afraid and look at my life and go, he's going the wrong way. And my sister was going the wrong way too. He's going the wrong way. But she had a promise. And when she plugged into that promise, it helped stop the fear in her life. It helped stop all the sermons that came my way. It helped stop all that junk because she had something to hold on to. And 3 years later, I come in. And 20 years later, my sister was come in. You say, that's a long time, but it sure beats not coming in. And she came in, but she held on to that promise. Listen, there are promises of God that will help you in whatever area you have fear in. And thank God for Google. You say, well, I don't know any. Google them. Promises of God for provision, family, relationships, marriage, health. God's got a promise. And God's promises can cover your case really, really well. So we got promises we can plug into. Look at this verse here in Isaiah. I love this. He says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah. Now, that word says Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. That's the word that the Hebrews would use for God, but it was the word that describes God when God said to Moses, you tell them I am sent you. I am that I am. You are what? I am everything you need. If you need strength, I am your strength. I am your peace. I am your salvation. I am your song. I am everything you need, and I am bigger than fear in your life. And you begin to plug into that. Oh, it makes a difference. It gives you something else to hold on to and to focus on. Here's the last one. Please know that your Heavenly Father does not want you living in fear. He does not want you. Jesus was an expression of the Father. He was such a good expression. Jesus didn't want them in fear. Oh, all through the Bible, every time God shows up, you hear him say one thing, fear not. Right. He doesn't want you in fear. No good parent wants you afraid. This weekend, we had the littles over at our house. That's what Joy calls my granddaughter. She calls them the littles. One is 4, one is 2.5. I want to tell you something. Little grandchildren at that age are super cute. No, and mine are the world's cutest. Just say it. But you know, they're so, they're just cute at that age. And you know, one of them, Gracie, man, when she cries, it's like, oh gosh. And she's crying, there's big tears coming down her face. And she was, and you know, I never looked at Joy and said, huh, look at that. We made her cry. Let's see if we can scare her now. I didn't want to do that. And these weren't even my kids. These are my grandkids. But I love them. I'm not better than our Heavenly Father. Trust me on that. He's better than this. And so whenever you're thinking, well, I guess God wants me to have this. I guess God wants me to put up with this. I guess God is not going to help me with this. Listen, if Jesus helped Peter, if God has constantly said, don't be afraid, then the message to you, the message to me is don't be afraid. There's an answer here. And the answer is, thank God for this. In Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 15, it says this, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That word, Abba, Father, means Father, my Father. Actually, some people think it translates better into Daddy, God. It's a term of endearment. It's of a Heavenly Father, we love you, and we know you love us, and you don't want us living in fear. I'm going to bring the band out here, and Lindsay Provost is coming. She's coming to sing a song. It's a great song about disconnecting from fear. Now listen, don't go away, because when she finishes, I'm coming back, and I want to say a special prayer this morning for those of you really who've been having a difficult time. And listen, we hear it all the time. There's family situations. There's court situations. There's physical situations. All kinds of situations, and fear is out there, but thank God. And fear does not have to have the last word.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Had as much of you as I can take. I'm so done, so over being afraid. I've gone through the motions, I've been back and forth. I know that you're thinking you've heard this before. I don't know how to say it, so I'm just gonna say it.
I know.
how to say it. Sing along with me. Sing fear you don't own me. There ain't no room in this story. I ain't got time for you telling me what I'm not like. You know me, but guess what? I know who I am. I know I'm strong, brave, and I am free. Got my own identity. So you will never be.
Okay, anybody ready for a good breakup? With fear, not your spouse. Don't look straight ahead and go, it's fear, it's fear. Let's pray. I want to pray, if you would, just bow your heads. And I want to pray for everyone who's really been dealing with fear. It's been plaguing you. This is a morning that we say things begin to change today. Heavenly Father, I just lift up those this morning in here who have been plagued with fear. All of us deal with it, some in different ways than others. But Father, thank you that your promise is peace, your promise is freedom. Father, regardless of whether they're dealing with full-blown panic attacks and just dread, Lord, I thank you that today is the day that things begin to change, that today is the day that we put our foot down and go, we're part of your kingdom, we're part of your family, and fear is not welcome in our life. And so, in Jesus' name, we resist it, we stand against it, and we begin to declare that today is the day that things begin to turn around and change. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, if you came today and you say, Alan, I don't know that I know the Lord. I don't know that I have a relationship with him. Or maybe you're like I was. My story was your story, that you knew him, you got away from him, and today you realize, I want to come back to him. We're going to say a very simple prayer. We're not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. But this morning, if you just have the courage to do that, I'm going to ask you in a second. If that's you that I'm talking to, just simply just slip your hand up. If that's you, and you say, Alan, I want to come to the Lord, I want to come back to him, would you please pray for me? I just need you to slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me right now? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Anybody else, say, that's me. Thank you. Yes, thanks. Great. I see you in the front, in the back. Anybody else, say, Alan, would you pray for me? I need to come. I want to be sure, or I want to come back. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. No one's looking around. We're not going to call you to the front. And maybe you think, oh, I missed my chance. No, this is a heart prayer. And you can pray this. We're going to pray it out loud. We're going to pray it as a church family. You can pray it all together with us. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. As heads are still bowed and eyes closed, Father, thank you for those that have prayed that prayer today. Thank you, Father, for those who stepped out of darkness into your marvelous light, and for those who've come back home. Father, thank you for your mercy, that you welcome them with open arms. Thank you. Today is the day that things begin to change. We give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.